This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, May 7, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Trinity Health Grand Rapids is spending nearly $23 million upgrading the Richard J. Lax Senior Cancer Center. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the details.
The $22.7 million investment will modernize the facility, which opened in 2005, to enhance patient care with new upgrades. Dr. Matt Biersack, President, Trinity Health Grand Rapids, says the goal is a comprehensive cancer hub with all needed services under one roof.
Medical, surgical oncology, radiation therapy, infusion, and we want to continue to have a model that will support that, but we need to create the capacity within the cancer center in order to do so.
Key upgrades include a new oncology pharmacy, expanded infusion services, a dedicated brachytherapy vault for targeted radiation, renovated patient rooms, new lobby, and cafe. New oncologists and support staff are being hired.
We've been really well known for our breast center program in creating a comprehensive, very patient-centric experience. And we want a model of care like that for other tumor types, especially as we see the population aging.
Construction begins this fall and is expected to finish in late 2028. Lax Cancer Center will remain open to serve patients throughout renovations. I'm Dee Morrison.
A federal grant is supporting local residents seeking affordable housing. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how a grant is expanding housing supplies and bridging the income-to-rent gap.
Nonprofit Dwelling Place of Grand Rapids is receiving $307,000 through NeighborWorks America, a congressionally chartered national nonprofit creating opportunities for people to live in affordable homes. The funding supports Dwelling Place's efforts to lower housing costs, expand local housing supply, generate new economic opportunities, and revitalize West Michigan neighborhoods. NeighborWorks America was established by Congress in 1978. It supports local solutions to affordable housing and community development challenges. In 2025, the organization attracted $74 in additional investment for each dollar of the federal appropriation. According to the Grand Rapids Housing Commission, the city continues facing a severe ongoing crisis due to a roughly $20,000 income-to-rent gap, though a slight easing is occurring due to more than 6,000 new units built between 2022 and 2024. I'm David Limbaugh.
A vacancy on the Grand Rapids City Council may remain unfilled until after the November election. There are two finalists, and WGVU's Phil Dawson reports commissioners are deadlocked 3 votes apiece on which one to appoint.
This is an example of where reasonable people can reasonably disagree.
And Commissioner Alicia Marie Belchek says the disagreement is blocking the appointment of someone to fill the vacant First Ward seat and give residents the representation they deserve.
The ward does deserve to have full representation.
There are two candidates under consideration. Belchek and two other commissioners support Grand Valley State University professor Dan Cope.
I think that we would work really effectively in the next few months.
Commissioner Kelsey Perdue and two others support former Commissioner Kurt Rippard.
Someone who is well known, well versed on the issues, and I still haven't heard a clear reason why there is this anti-Kurt sentiment, because that's essentially what's holding up this process.
Rippard held the First Ward Commission seat until his re-election defeat by Drew Robbins in 2022. Robbins resigned to run for the state legislature with 8 months remaining in his term, leaving a vacancy and what Mayor David LeGrand calls a deadlock.
A 3-3 deadlock on the finalists. I don't think that's the outcome we wanted as a body. If we can't achieve consensus, this position will continue to be unfilled. I think the city will survive it.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Nearly a year after Zealand-based clock manufacturer Howard Miller announced it was closing, a group of investors has acquired the 100-year-old business. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Clockmaker Howard Miller is relaunching under new West Michigan ownership. Jim O'Keefe, the company's former vice president of sales and marketing, and Andrew Christman, director of marketing, will lead the revived business. The investment team acquiring the historic company includes J.C. Heisinga, founder and chair of Kentwood-based investment firm Heisinga Group, Bill McKendry, founder of Ada-based advertising firm Brand Haven, and Phil Pohl, EVP of Global Supply Chain for Traeger Grills. Howard Miller announced plans to wind down operations in July 2025, with closure expected in 2026 due to a struggling housing market and tariffs. Now the company is actively rebuilding with a strategy centered on its most popular categories, wall, mantle, tabletop, and floor clocks. The company will remain in Zealand with team members focused
on design, operations, and marketing, with new designs expected in late 2026. Members of the Miller family will remain involved as advisors. I'm David Limbaugh.
Authorities in Kentwood are asking for help from the public following a fatal hit-and-run accident. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Kentwood police responded around 6:30 this morning to a report of an unresponsive male near Eastern and Hardwick Street. Authorities say their preliminary investigation looked like it may have been a hit and run. Investigators say the incident likely occurred sometime between Wednesday evening and early this morning, and by mid-afternoon, authorities confirmed it was a fatal accident. Police also say the area experiences a high volume of traffic and a potential witness is likely. They are asking anyone who may have been in the area and observed any suspicious activity or if they have any information related to the incident to contact the Kentwood Police Department. Anonymous tips can also be submitted through Silent Observer at silentobserver.org. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin talks to a local doctor about being named 2026 Medical Director of the Year, but first, news from around the state. A Metro Detroit businesswoman at the center of a scandal over a state budget earmark is now facing felony charges. Colin Jackson has more.
In 2023, a nonprofit, Fabe Dunran, received $10 million in grant money from the state. The money was supposed to bring in international business, but the Attorney General's office accuses Baydoun of misspending over $1 million of it on her own expenses. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says this case shows why the agency that oversaw Baydoun's grant and many others needs more oversight.
I'm sure there are many times where you could point to a project and say, yes, that is serving the benefit of the public and it's a good use of tax dollars. It's just that when that happens, it just happens to be a coincidence.
Nessel says there aren't enough safeguards at the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Baydoun's lawyers are maintaining her innocence. They're calling the saga a public spectacle. I'm Colin Jackson.
The Michigan Supreme Court heard arguments on Wednesday on whether legislative leaders have any discretion in deciding whether bills adopted by the House and Senate must go to the governor's desk. Rick Pluta has more.
After a changeover in power last year, the House's new GOP leaders decided to sit on 9 bills adopted by both chambers, but that had still not been processed and sent to Governor Gretchen Whitmer to sign or veto. The Senate, still controlled by Democrats, sued, arguing that the Michigan Constitution says all bills adopted by both chambers of the legislature must be forwarded to the governor. Democratic Senator Sue Schenck says the stakes are high.
Democracy depends on elected officials doing their job and following the law, and in this case, it didn't happen. The House Speaker chose not to follow the law.
House Republicans say courts should stay out of the inner workings of the legislative branch. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Dr. Iris Betcher of Life Circles PACE has been named 2026 Medical Director of the Year. WGVU's Shelley Irwin talked to Dr. B about this honor by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine.
Well, she's a Michigander, and she's a winner. Life Circles PACE Medical Director Dr. Iris Betcher has been honored by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. It's a big deal as 2026 Medical Director of the Year, and you are that recipient. Dr. Betcher, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Congratulations. I'm sure it's not your first rodeo, but being honored recently at the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, I hope you carry high on your mantle. How's it feel?
Oh, it's a great honor.
Is it?
Yeah, it's one of the highest awards a physician could receive in my specialty.
Wonderful. What is your specialty?
Well, I'm a geriatrician and an internist to care of older adults. But this particular award, people that practice in long-term care facilities, such as skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facility, and continuing care retirement communities.
And tell us more. We've had several conversations when it comes to Life Circles PACE, of course, right in our own backyard, centers in Holland, centers in Muskegon, and this is a program of, is it the Brio Living Services?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Correct.
So as a medical director, what were the qualifications to become medical director of the year? Obviously, I'm having you toot your own horn.
Well, one of the qualifications is the Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Society has a credential that's called Certified Medical Director, which is a series of courses and experience that make you qualified, give you qualifications for that credential, and that needs to be maintained. And this year, which is different from this award, but an additional credential has been designated by the society as fellow of post-acute and long-term care. And I was also in the inaugural class for that credential. So it was a action-packed 2 days in late March at the annual meeting of the Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Society.
Very nice. Well, again, other reasons why you are recognized, individuals whose vision, passion, leadership, knowledge, and commitment succeed in taking patient care to exceptional levels of quality, excellence, and innovation. And remind us of the good work in general of Life Circle's PACE, if you would.
Well, PACE is a program for all-inclusive care of the elderly. That's what PACE stands for. And that's a special program where older adults who qualify for nursing home care, skilled nursing home care in the state of Michigan, are able to stay at home. And the program takes care of people in the community rather than in skilled nursing facilities. So it's a combination of Medicare and Medicaid dollars, and the program is both the provider of services as well as the insurance company. So they are at full risk, but have a lot of flexibility in caring for people in the community, and they do not need to be in a nursing home.
Thank you for that reality. Again, Executive Director of Life Circles PACE, Heidi Gross, little birdie tells me that she said that you, Iris, not usually one for the spotlight, so thanks for talking about yourself. You are more comfortable having a heart-to-heart with a family in crisis or rolling up your sleeves, okay, in your garden. But you, of course, the National Medical Director of the Year by this PultMed is a moment the whole team is celebrating. How, where do you get the motivation to have this heart-to-heart with a family in crisis?
Well, I think it's very important that people understand their prognosis and their medical conditions and what the future might hold for them. And oftentimes we, as physicians and providers, don't do a very good job of that. And so it's really important to make sure that patients, participants, and their families understand what the current condition is of a patient or participant, as we refer to them at Life Circles. And then really, based on that understanding, really discern what matters most for them and how they want to live the rest of their days, given the conditions that they have and their prognosis.
And again, a quote from you and saying that your real reward is the work you do every day at Life Circles PACE. So there we are. So I guess the theme is support older adults. It's okay to be an older adult and look for all opportunities available.
Yes. And, you know, I think the other thing that I love about this work is sometimes you listen a lot, and sometimes the smallest thing that you change makes the biggest difference in an older adult's life. So that's why I like being an internist and sometimes a detective a little bit.
Yes, well, keep up the great work. May that honor hang on your mantle as the foundation, of course, honored by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. You, 2026 Medical Director of the Year. Dr. Ira Spetcher, how do we find out more information about Life Circles PACE and any other resource?
Well, it's easy to Google them. They have a great website and information, and if you're interested and intrigued about a loved one, an older adult who may need this type of care, we'd love to talk to you more about that.
Ask for Iris, there you are. All right, thank you. Congratulations again. Bask in the sunlight, but I know you have work to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, May 7, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.